If I seem a little nervous, I am, okay? And if I get a little long-winded, I apologize for that. So, no, I just want to, first of all, thank the church for allowing me to come here and be a part of this church from day one. And God brought me here for a reason. And I just can't thank the church enough for the support. Trust me, I was so surprised, and I was just thankful for God for that. Anyway, For His Glory was started. It's a nonprofit that was formed here in Iowa. We're still waiting our 501c3. It is a process. Those of you who have dealt with that know that it is a process. There we go. That's much better. Sorry about that. Let me get this on here. And I formed it with a friend of mine who I've known since I was 14 years old. Okay? We formed it, came together. I get a long story with our history, but he's the one that really brought me back to Christ, to know Christ the way you need to know Christ, full of the grace of God, okay? He's the one that did it, and we formed this. And then you see up there in the Psalms, this is words of David. This is the scripture we're using for us is, "Be exalted, O God, above all the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth." So, and I'm not going to read all this to you. You can read yourself. Our main focus is on helping underprivileged and abandoned children throughout the world to meet their physical, emotional, and spiritual needs. And the reason why this was formed is because we know from our past experience, knowledge that we've gained, and then the prompting of God. I mean, God is what got us to do this. That's the main reason. And I put some scriptures in here that we've used to, okay, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? The second greatest commandment, love your neighbor like you love yourself. Okay? That's what Jesus, those are the words of Jesus. And then we got some words of Solomon. I believe that is 35. I didn't write it down there. I should have. Do not withhold good from those whom it is due. When is your power to act, do not say to your neighbor, "Come back tomorrow and I'll give it to you," when you already have it. Okay? And then James says here, and I just, this scripture here really, really hit home with me. When God the Father considers it to be pure, genuine religion is this: to take care of orphans and widows in their suffering and to keep oneself from being corrupt from the world. That take care of orphans and widows, that really hit home with me when we were forming this. There's a bunch of stuff we have done in the past. I'm not going to go through all that. But that's, me and my friend have had experience working with people who are underprivileged. And as we've done this, these are just some reasons why, what's led us to this, okay? These are some statistics. I'm not going to read this. But as you can see, 700 million people live in extreme poverty. What's extreme? This is UNICEF 2022. So this isn't old. UNICEF's well-known. You know, people use a lot of their statistics. They live on $1.90 a day. Start doing some calculations. Hit, that ain't much. Okay? And just over half of those 700 million, excuse me, are children. That's extreme poverty. They say that nearly 1 billion children are in multidimensional poor, which means they lack the basic needs such as, it cut it off, water, shelter, clothing. They have more than one of those things they're lacking. 1 billion. That's a big number, okay? And then you have, I guess, some statistics over here. Basically, these children are more likely to have a very, very tough time as adults because they're not getting their needs met as children, okay? And then I want to really point out the last thing. Only a limited number of governments have set to eliminate childhood poverty as a national priority. People, I don't know if any of you have been to foreign countries, but the fact is, our poor are not poor. I know there's people, and so don't get me wrong, I know there's people struggling in the United States, okay? But we have to understand what these people are facing, okay? These governments aren't there to help them. If us Christians don't help them, they may not get any help, okay? They may not get any help. Okay, this is a list of things we do. Basically, we meet their immediate needs. We're giving them spiritual guidance, and we're looking to help make sure they get the education, okay, which is so important to help them, the spiritual needs and their education. And then down here, self-sufficiency, and then also we're helping them navigate their laws and their programs that are available. They don't even know how to do that, okay? There's two gentlemen I've come in contact that we've been helping that you guys have helped support, and I appreciate that. First one is Brother James. I started exchanging words with him, and then we started doing video Bible studies, okay? I grew from there, and then I later met Pastor Vincent. He's not an ordained pastor. He took some theology, but he's got a ministry he's working over there, okay? They're both these gentlemen are in Kenya. Okay. I met one of them. I met the other. They told me where they lived, and I got to look, and these gentlemen only lived about 15 miles from each other, and they did not know each other. They had no clue. I introduced them together. There was a video I had, but it didn't download, so I apologize for that. But there's a video, and you should have seen the joy, the brotherhood, the praising of God, and how they were just so happy to meet each other because they're both doing the same thing, which is helping orphan children. Okay, there they are. That's Brother James and Brother Vincent. Over there is the taller one. Okay, between the two of them, they each have 13 children they've taken off the street. Each one of them. This is James. I asked these guys, I got a lot of information directly from them to put in their own words. So if the English is a little broken, you'll understand why. And I'm not going to read all this, but I'm going to give you a general idea. He was raised by his auntie. His parents separated. Each went their own ways. Left me to die when I was 2 years old, according to my auntie, okay? Oh, read this. I have gone through trauma, suffering, hardships. I have slept hungry many times, being homeless, sleeping hungry, going through torture, growing up without the affection of my parents, okay? And that's what prompted him to take care of these children, okay? And his last line, by taking care of them at my home, I can give them hope, pray together, encourage them, okay? Vincent, this is a little, he was one of five children. His dad disowned him. His mother worked, but she got paid $1 a day when he was a child. $1 a day. Slept hungry, walked barefooted, went without clothes. We were even at home because of school fees. They couldn't afford to even go to school. Okay? This is a little bit more about Vincent. He went to college. He did some theological study, but he couldn't afford school, dropped out. Okay? He knows the struggles, which is why he took these orphans in, okay? He knows the struggles, and there was the meeting, which is just a touching meeting here. These guys, like I said, praising God. Here's a picture of James. I'm sorry about the quality of it. These are the picture, and unfortunately in Kenya, it's not unusual. Babies in your way, just set them on the side of the road. Can you imagine seeing that in the United States? You ain't going to see that in the United States. There might be a very few places, but if you see a baby, it's going to be headline news. It's going to be headline news. Here it's common practice. Okay? Here's this. This is Pastor Vincent. I took a quote from one of the girls told Pastor Vincent that she grew up with her grandmother who later died due to cancer. This is a 10-year-old girl, and that's how she found herself on the street. So her parents abandoned her. Her grandmother took her in. Grandmother got cancer. There wasn't any social services to say, oh, we'll take care of you. Nope. That's how she found herself on the street. Okay? Oh, that kind of got screwed up. These are all the names and the ages of all these kids. They range from age 2, I think now the one that is 2 is now 3, all the way up to 17. Okay? We got a wide range of kids here. Thrive donations. You guys, I don't know if you remember, you donated $500 to our cause, and I just can't thank you enough. This is what you did. You provided a $130 doctor visit for medicine and a doctor visit for this teenager, Mary James. She got bit by some type of animal, and she had swollen up so bad she couldn't eat. She couldn't function. And the doctor said it's by the grace of God, she got there when she did. The infection was that bad. Okay? You also provided $150 worth of food, $75 per house. Now, they are doing some work, which I'll get into a little bit. Deed. I'll talk a little bit more about the deed update. And then beans and fertilizer for bean crop for Vincent. This is Mary James right here. There's a picture of her. There's the dismissal. There's some of the medicine she had to get. Okay? That's her getting treatment. There's Pastor Vincent with his corn crop. He's now, unfortunately, commercial, they know to rotate crop. This gentleman he'd been pounding corn for 3 years in a row and wondering why his bushels kept going down. Well, by God's grace, I'm being from Iowa. Most people probably don't know. Hey, you need to rotate your crop. So we were able to, you guys, this church was able to get in some beans to plant with some fertilizer, and he's supposed to be sending me some pictures of his bean crop soon. That's Brother James shopping. This is just more pictures of the two of them with some of the boys. These are other funds that me and my brother Darren have supported. We've helped them register for school. We sent them educational supplies and Bibles, food, fees. We're trying to establish some type of legal, they don't have any legal custody of these children, okay? We're trying to establish that. Some more fees for some doctors. And then I also was able to send a few kids, middle school kids, to a field trip that they would have never been able to go on. Okay, here's some more pictures. That picture of that pot, that's a kitchen. There's their kitchen right there. There's a couple of, I just thought that picture was cute of those three boys, those three kids. So there's the registration. There's the food. What they eat a lot of, cornmeal porridge and unleavened cornbread. Unleavened. Think tortilla, okay? That's pretty much what you're doing here. There's Pastor Vincent got some school supply, and there's him and a couple of the boys just in one of the house. These are some other things that we've been doing, videos, Bible studies. I've been doing those on a regular basis with these guys. Video interaction with the children, reciting Bible verses in English and their native language, and singing praise songs for me, which you see a bunch of kids, I don't care if you understand or not, just singing praises to the Lord. If that don't make you want to cry, I don't know what will make you cry. And then Brother Vincent and James, in the last 2 months, they go to school year-round, okay? They take like two to three week breaks, depending on how the calendar falls. But anyway, they've been able to get into 4 secondary schools to present the gospel. Over the schools over there, they're funded by, well, if they get the funds, okay. They're funded by the government, but each headmaster, is what they call them, is allowed to have a little autonomy over their school, okay. They've been able to get into 4 secondary schools and present the gospel, not just to a class, but to the whole school, which is just a blessing, such a blessing. And then Pastor Vincent today will be completing a youth summit that his church and 5 other churches. Now you probably go, well, why aren't these churches helping these people? People don't have a lot of money to give to the church, okay? They just don't have it. Most of these people don't have it. Okay? and a lot of them are non-denominational. There's Pastor Vincent in the middle with those boys at the youth summit. There's one of their houses. There's some boys studying some papers. There's another, Brother James, receiving the package. He was so grateful. I wish you could see it. I can't explain it. It was so touching. Here's some headlines in Guinea, and I'll get done here, okay? Just so you know what's going on, a chief political rival of the president, they're in structured talks in protest. They've had food protests over food and taxes. Taxpayers paying. Win for the president as court unfreezes the Finance Act. The Finance Act is saying, tax them some more. Tax them on what they don't have. Okay, that's what these people are facing. Schools may close early due to delayed funding. Okay? The chief licensing officer helped somebody, I don't know who that new juju is, but smuggle guns. You know, they're dealing with the same things we are, except they don't have any resources. Then you got the Chinese influence, which I'm gonna get into. China and Algeria mark anniversary of ties with eyes to stronger partnership. If you're reading any of the news, China is infiltrating and has been for longer than we realize. Africa, they want to put their influence over there. They have a summit to commit to peace and development. Freed convict was caught in bizarre circumcision ritual that left boy dead. Yeah, and then we got a couple social articles you could find online. Why you should never marry down. Don't be marrying that poor boy. You got to go find some rich boy and give you some diamonds and some rings and some pearls. That's what these people are reading, okay? And ladies, massage your man's ego. These are headlines. So, I mean, they're, okay? Chinese influence. We don't hear about it because, unfortunately, United States, unless you're searching for it, you're not going to find a lot of international news. The Kenya government agreed to bring in China to help with infrastructure improvements several years back, roads and buildings, okay? They thought, most of the people in Kenya thought, oh, they're going to use us. Look, we can have good jobs. Nope, they brought in cheap Chinese labor. And if you know anything about cheap Chinese labor, it's pretty much free. We'll give you enough food and a house to live, and guess what? You'll be working for us because you're working for the government, okay? And then the marketplace has also been flooded with, does this sound familiar? Cheap Chinese goods? Putting a lot of pressure on the local salesmen that make their living that way, okay? Here's another video I wish I could have shown you how this man was so excited to get this teacher's job. Look how much his average base is $4,378. The average cost of living to live, if you're living in the city, is about $1,000 a month. That math's not real good. If you're a teacher, you're not going to be able to have your own place, okay? Just so you have some idea, the government says the unemployment rate's about 5.74%. I did some calculations. It's closer to 14%, and who knows how accurate those numbers. There's a lot of high unemployment there. Brother James, he does day labor, is what he does. That's what he does. He goes and finds jobs. Pastor Vincent does too, but he also, this is part of his ministry he started. It's called a walking church. It's all about reaching, these are his words, it's all about reaching non-Christians who do not have the urge to come to church. I came up the mission purposely. This is his words, to win and turn many souls to Christ. After preaching and one has accepted, we baptize them in the name of God, Son, and Holy Spirit, and later we baptize them in the water to seal the covenant. Okay? Tell me these people don't know our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay? This is it. Okay? This just goes to show you it doesn't matter your circumstances. God be with you if you let him into your heart, okay? And the reason why he did it, if you looked at the grand question behind our ministry is why wait for people to come to you when you can meet them at the respective place of work and stay? okay, or stay, okay? That's what he's saying. He's going out to meet the people. These are some current needs we're trying to meet. We're gonna try getting their schooling paid for the next trimester. I'm sending some English Bibles that I haven't sent those yet, Jonathan. But I've got some school supplies, and Jonathan graciously gave me some English Bibles, and I'm sending them over there. Then we're looking to get a deed transfer, and then we'll ship some shoes, which I'm going to get into. There's a bathroom. See that tarp over there? That's a bathroom. That there is buckets and jerry cans that they use to carry the water about 2 miles to go to the river, bring it to the house. There's the lamp, and there's what one of the beds looks like, one of the bedrooms. You know, it looks like it got a few lumps in it, but I guess it's better than sleeping outside. End of the year, we're looking to send a little bit of money just to support. Like I said, they do some work, but they're not enough. Like I said, there's what they're eating. We're looking for the first trimester, and then they have to wear uniforms. They're able to find cheap ones, but they just got to come up with some of the funds for 22 kids. So anyway, now this is our ultimate goal here with me and my friend. We're wanting to set up official orphanages, okay? But to do that, okay, you have to have certain things. We had Pastor Vincent, we've done some of our own estimations. This electrical is not power line, it's going to be a solar panel, okay, that's going to feed electricity into there. And between the two, it's only $2,000 for both houses to get electricity. About $2,100 for both houses to get a washroom that has water. And especially we're looking to get wells built. That's actually our number one. I've got it at the bottom, but that's our number one priority, is to get well water to these people. And then we need to get them some beds. According to law over there, if you have an orphanage, each kid has to have a designated bed to sleep in, okay? No pallets on the floor, okay? The Apostle Paul says here, and I'm sure some of you are very familiar with this passage, so if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being in the same mind. This is Paul, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from self-ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form and servant of being born in the likeness of men. Okay? And then those of you who know, second talks about him going to the cross and giving himself up for us, okay, as a sacrifice. Something I started, and I've asked Pastor, and he said, I'm looking to shoes. They need shoes. They do a lot of walking. They need shoes. I've got a couple boxes back there, and you can bring, if you have any you're looking to get rid of. They don't have to be in perfect condition, but don't bring me something that's going to fall apart in a day or two. I asked them what size. I said, what size the shoes do you guys wear? Ones that fit. Okay, they're not, based on the age and the size, I'm looking for children size 12 all the way up to men's or women's size 11 or 9. So if you could help that would be great. I'm going to get those sent off as soon as after August 20th. And this is what Luke says, and this is another thing that's like, we need to be out spreading the gospel, helping those in need, and just showing the love of God, okay? And Jesus said, and he said to them, the harvest is plenty, but laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Okay? I just, the calling that this has come upon me is just, it was overwhelming. And then for you guys to support me, I can't thank you enough. And we're doing this for the glory of God. And anything, if you guys can bring some shoes, and if you have any questions, let me know. We haven't set up the website. We tried to set up a website. You don't want to go there. We're gonna have to get some more help with it. Me and him don't know what we're doing. We do have an email address, which I didn't post. But if you want any more information, we're waiting to get this fully rolled out till we get that 501c3, okay? Because that's going to help us. Now, my friend, once we get these deeds, he goes, I don't care about the 501c3. He wants to get money over there out of his own pocket to get these orphanages set up. He's been looking for a few years something to do with some money that he's accumulated, and that's what we're going to do. But we don't know where this is going to go, but God does, and I just want to thank you for your time. And I apologize, Pastor, for getting long-winded. I knew I would, but I just appreciate your time. Thank you much. I'm sorry.
Hey, let's Okay, now am I on? Let's pray together for Byron and for his glory. Heavenly Father, I don't know about anybody else in the room, but I am totally overwhelmed. We had no idea. We just know Byron and knew that he was a part of something. And we're just amazed that the heart you've given him, the people you have connected with him with, and the things that are happening because of this. We thank you for that. And I just pray a blessing over Byron, over the men you've connected him with, over this opportunity in Kenya, that you would just supply, provide for it. Lord, anything that we can do, help us to be ready and willing to do what you've called us to do. But we ask a blessing over for his glory today, that you would work and move and provide in great and awesome ways. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Byron. You give Byron a hand.